Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. ArmorAll, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Next time you board a plane, consider this. A nonstop flight from Los Angeles to New York spews about 1,300 pounds of planet-warming carbon into the air per passenger. Aviation is one of the fastest-growing sources of pollution on the planet, and it's also one of the hardest industries to clean up. Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd explains why for our climate series, Reverse Course.
At this farm in California's Central Valley, one of the first things you notice are the red-winged blackbirds merrily flitting through the winter wheat. But that's not the kind of flight I'm looking for.
Briefing done. I'm ready to arm, Elena.
There she goes.
I'm here for the crop duster.
People usually, when they see it fly, the first few passes, it's like riveting.
Michael Norcia is the CEO of Pika, the company that built this autonomous, battery-powered plane. As the aircraft climbs high overhead, its 38-foot wingspan looks tiny until it suddenly swoops down to spray the crop.
My heart rate is slightly elevated no matter what.
Why?
Just the margin for error, like it's right now 9 feet above the crop canopy, going about 70 miles an hour. So like nothing can go wrong.
These are still the early days of autonomous aviation. Pika's crop dusters are flying in Brazil, in Honduras, and last year the FAA gave it permission to operate in the United States. At the company's headquarters in Oakland, workers are busy on the newest project, an electric cargo plane that looks just like a traditional aircraft without the cockpit. Norcia says autonomous electric planes will be safer and cleaner. Someday, he believes they'll carry people.
What motivates me is I want to build a technology that's going to have an enormous impact, you know, when I die. It has to be electric to do that, in my opinion. Like, if I was working on a internal combustion engine small aircraft, there's no way that would be all that meaningful or impactful in 50 years.
Because that's not innovative.
Well, it's just not the future.
He says it'll take many years for regulators and the flying public to accept autonomous passenger planes. But around the world, piloted carbon-free flight is already taking off. In 2022, a 9-seat electric plane flew over Washington State. Another small aircraft has flown training missions in Europe. And last November, a crowd was mesmerized at the Tampa International Airport when a pilot waved the rotors of a battery-powered helicopter at people on the ground.
Was it a big hello from the pilot to you?
These aircraft are known as eVTOLs, or air taxis. This one hovered above the tarmac like a futuristic mechanical insect. Airlines like Delta and United have invested in the technology. Tampa Airport CEO Joe Lapano says it is the future of air travel.
It's new mobility. I mean, we need mobility around here, right? Well, this aircraft will go above all the traffic and take you where you need to go, within the city. You don't have to go to another city. You can go within your own city.
They're marvels of engineering, and I would love to fly in one. It's not a climate solution.
Jayant Mukhopadhyay is a senior researcher at the International Council on Clean Transportation. He says eVTOLs can't compete with the efficiency of electric cars, but he does see a niche role for small electric passenger planes.
So, for example, in Norway has an extensive system of regional airports where very small aircraft operate because you have to drive around all of these huge fjords to get from one village to another. And that's where electric aircraft would shine.
That shine quickly wears off. Mukhopadhyay says today's plane batteries are only powerful enough to carry 9 passengers about 100 miles, and the vast majority of aviation emissions come from longer flights in big jetliners. So, could you go from Pika's electric crop dusters to battery-powered 737s?
No.
Scott Kirby is the CEO of United Airlines. We spoke in February.
Oh, you don't think like the battery technology could get to a point where that would work?
No. There's not even a theoretical physics that allows batteries to have enough energy density to fly even medium-sized airplanes medium distances.
Instead, Kirby says the future of clean aviation rests squarely on the fuels we put inside big planes. And for that part of this story, I'm going to hand it off to my colleague, Chris Bentley.
That is the sound of almost 1,000 gallons of jet fuel whooshing through a hose over my head and into the wing of a 737 MAX 9 at San Francisco International Airport. But here at SFO, United planes guzzle a special cocktail, mostly regular jet fuel, mixed with some sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF.
All right, smells like gasoline.
Yeah. It sticks with you, yeah. So.
SAF burns about 80% cleaner than traditional fuel, and crucially for passengers waiting on the tarmac, it refuels just like the regular stuff.
No difference. Operationally, it has not changed anything.
Lori Augustine is VP of United's operations here in San Francisco. This is how the airline says it's going to get to net zero by 2050 without traditional carbon offsets, like planting trees. United says last year they only burned about 7 million gallons of SAF, but they and others have agreed to buy billions of gallons in the coming years, and they're paying a premium to get it. Green jet fuel can cost up to 3 times what fossil fuels do. Augustine says it's worth it.
I think it's important to our customers. I think it's important to our company, especially for our community here. I think when people want to pick an airline, I think they're going to look to somebody that's going to be climate sensitive.
That's where SAF ends up. But it starts here at plants like World Energy in Paramount, California. This used to be an oil refinery, and it still looks like one. Several city blocks worth of huge round tanks, labyrinths of steel pipes, and trucks pulling in to fill up and haul fuel. Only now, instead of crude, well, I'll let World Energy's Joe Rand tell you what they're cooking with.
We use animal waste. Tallow is essentially unused animal parts, fat, cartilages, tendons.
Yeah, sounds gross. But to a chemical engineer like Rand, oil from animal fat is not all that different from petroleum on a molecular level. And as far as its climate impact, burning waste is a lot better than burning fossil fuels. But getting it into a form that can be pumped into jet engines, that's tricky and expensive.
Yeah, so it costs more. It takes a lot more work to produce a product that is 80% less carbon intense. I think scaling is absolutely necessary, and it will bring the efficiency and then reduce that. But decarbonization work will always have a value, and it needs to have a value to create that marketplace.
That marketplace includes airlines like United, but also companies that want to clean up their corporate travel and are willing to pay money to do it. Last week, a group of corporations called the Sustainable Aviation Buyers Alliance announced it will invest nearly $200 million in companies that produce SAF. Joe Rand says that's part of a virtuous cycle of investment that companies like World Energy need if they're going to ramp up their supply.
Demand is strong. Our marketing group, they keep coming to me and say, Joe, can you get this facility to make more, and we are going to invest, but it takes time.
Time is one thing, but there's only so much you can do with animal fat. Zia Abdullah is with the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. He says there are about 3 billion gallons worth of SAF that the U.S. can make from animal fat. That's about the amount of fuel U.S. airlines burn in 2 months. But Abdullah says there are other SAF recipes with different ingredients.
wet farm waste such as animal manure and sludges, all the way through agricultural crops, herbaceous crops, woody biomass, and now even CO2.
Abdullah says there's plenty of raw material for SAF to someday replace fossil jet fuel. If that happens, it'll mean retooling existing oil refineries to make SAF, like we saw at World Energy.
It's a whole new industry. Absolutely. It's a whole new industry, but we do believe that the existing petroleum industry will have a big, big, big role in this.
Today, SAF makes up less than 0.5% of global jet fuel supply. The Biden administration set a goal of getting that to 100% in the next 25 years. By then, some of us could be taking short trips in electric air taxis, like Peter mentioned, and we might even see long-haul commercial flights running on hydrogen. At least two commercial airlines have successfully flown solely on SAF, but don't expect to fly in one soon. In the meantime, remember that 737 in San Francisco? There's just a little SAF going into those planes right now, because there's just not enough of the stuff being produced. But even if that supply grows, FAA regulations say airplanes can only burn a 50-50 blend of the stuff. Why? It's because plane engines are designed to work with all the gunk and chemical impurities in petroleum, so federal regulations limit how much airlines can replace. Yep, ironically, sustainable aviation fuel is too clean for our dirty jets. So for now, it remains just a proverbial drop in the global fuel tank. Thanks for listening. If you like what you just heard, dig deeper into the story by clicking the link in the show notes. We've got photos and a lot more at our website, hereandnow.org. Reverse Course is a special series from Here and Now by NPR and WBUR. You can find all of our episodes at hereandnow.org. And if you like this series, we do a lot more climate coverage on our podcast, Here and Now Anytime. Look for Here and Now Anytime in your podcast app. In 30-minute episodes every weekday, we bring you a little news, a little something you weren't expecting, and always a fresh, in-depth perspective on the stories that shape your world. Hear from smart people who know what's up and get a new angle on the news with Here and Now Anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts.